Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And when it comes to college, conventional wisdom says, pick a major, get good grades, and off you go to a successful career. But boy, have times changed. Ken Bain, Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs at the University of the District of Columbia, is here to turn that idea on its head and share some expert advice on making the most of a college career. He's written a book called What the Best College Students Do. Hi, Ken. Welcome.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
So is there some kind of formula to being a successful college student that's different today than it was in the past?
I don't know that there's a formula, but there is a huge body of research that suggests that different students will take different approaches to their studies that generally fall into one of three broad categories. That is either what is called a surface approach, a strategic approach, or a deep approach. And it's only the latter that's likely to be successful.
Well, the surface approach, and we'll see all the heads nodding out there in radio land, students interested primarily in surviving the course.
Right, exactly.
And the strategic approach, you say, is students driven by a desire to receive good grades and accolades. And then the deep approach, which you just said is the best, uses intrinsic motivators rather than extrinsic. That is, you find the passion within yourself for something and pursue studies in it, correct?
Exactly, exactly.
But is that a romantic notion in today's world? You know, my girlfriend in college was a pottery major, and she was really into her pottery, but then after college she had to spend years getting trained for something that could make her money.
Right. Well, but even in terms of being able to survive economically, you have to have some passion for what you're doing. And in order to be able to be creative, we have to be able to tap lots of different kinds of resources within ourselves and our own experience. We can't just train people for current jobs when, in fact, those jobs are going to disappear. We have to be able to educate people to be adaptable to new kinds of environments, and that's the key.
Are these approaches developed while at college, the surface or strategic or deep approach, or are they things that one learns earlier in their lives or at home?
Well, all of the above. They can change, and I think good students will change and will change very dramatically, sometimes as a result of a wonderful teacher that they have. But whether one takes a surface or a strategic approach is largely determined by conditioning. Taking that deep approach seems to be more natural. People have a lot of curiosity when they're born.
Listeners, what makes a successful college student today or a successful college experience in your opinion? Any current college students, recent graduates, parents of college students want to call in? 212-433-WNYC. Is this changing compared to years ago in your experience or your opinion? 212-433-9692 for Ken Bain, Provost for Vice President for Academic Affairs at the University of District of Columbia, and author now of What the Best College Students Do. 212-433-9692. Let me go back to that second approach, because
sure.
I guess you're critical of it, but a lot of people probably push their kids toward this or think this is the best we can expect of most people, the strategic approach, students driven by a desire to receive good grades and accolades.
Yeah.
When is that a bad thing?
Well, I think the research suggests that if students predominantly take a strategic approach, and that's all they're interested in is that good grade, then they are not likely to be risk takers. They're not likely to try out new things. They're not likely to explore new subjects. Second, they're not likely to learn conceptually. They're more likely to learn procedurally. And then third, and perhaps most important, because they don't learn conceptually, they tend not to become what the literature calls adaptive experts, that is, able to adapt to to lots of different kinds of situations.
But do you think most universities are structured to promote precisely that strategic approach, being centered around grades and honors for students who have a certain GPA and et cetera?
Oh, I think so, yes. And what I did is I looked at 35 people who went to college but who were out of college and became very creative and very productive individuals. And they were not driven by grades. They were driven by really a higher calling, a higher curiosity about the world in which they lived.
Let's take a call. Sandra in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Leonard. Yeah, I live in the Bronx. I've never
been
involved.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Just want to let you know that. So when I was in college, you know, I came from a working class family, and you know, my father was actually a high school teacher, and my mother started college but never finished. So they were so interested in my becoming a physician. That's what a lot of middle class families want their talented daughters or sons to do. So they pushed me to be pre-med, but I really didn't have a passion for that. What I really loved was mathematics. And so I secretly took all these math courses and changed to a math major without even telling them. And eventually I did go to med school, and I ended up leaving, and then now I do teach mathematics. Mm. And I followed my passion, which really took me far, because I've been doing this now for, I don't know, 25 years, and I love teaching math. I don't get paid, not even a fraction of what I would be paid, right, you know, as a doctor. I probably wouldn't be living in the Bronx if I was a doctor.
But you don't have to look at people's tonsils and their kidneys and stuff. Sandra, the world needs, the world needs more people like you, passionate math teachers.
Yes, indeed.
The order of, thank you very much. You interviewed for your book several successful professionals and looked back at how their college educations contributed to their success. And of all people, one of them was Stephen Colbert.
Yes, indeed. Right. Stephen is a very interesting individual. I looked at him because he had changed the face of comedy in the United States. And I was interested in his career as a college student. He started out as a philosophy major at Hampton, Sydney. Became a theater major at Northwestern, and he was driven by that passion. He told me that he took control of his own education when he was 10 years old, and that was a seminal event in his life.
I wonder if his parents tried to push him out of being a theater major.
I don't know. The event that perhaps he was referring to was the fact that his father and his two older brothers were killed in a plane crash when he was 10 years old.
You say changed the face of comedy in America, I guess, from being a real conservative talk show host to being a fake conservative talk show host. Kathy in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
What's your story?
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha.
I'm the mom of a freshman that's going out next Saturday, and he was an exceptional student in high school, the honor roll, the extracurricular, the sports, all the things that the colleges want to see in the, quote, well-rounded child. And I think the majority of his efforts were because that's what the colleges wanted to see, not the intrinsic, as you said. You know, he did it because he wanted to do it. I think these kids, as opposed to when I was 18, 17, are way too young to be going off to $50,000 a year school. I think a gap year of community service would be really beneficial to our country.
Kathy, thank you very much. So besides the public service aspect of her question, mm-hmm, just on the personal aspect, do you think more kids should take gap years after high school so that they go into college with more of a clue of why they're there?
I think that depends upon the individual. Certainly for a lot of students, that year off would be enormously beneficial to them, to be sure. Because one of the things that we discovered in looking at all these people is that they had a purpose in going to college. And for some of them, they didn't necessarily go to college with that purpose, but they acquired one fairly early in their careers in college.
Yeah, but going to college without a purpose, I'm sure that's true for many, many, many people. It was true for me when I first went to college. It was just 13th grade.
Right.
You went to college because you were, you know, taught, raised, that you were going to be an educated person.
Yes.
But I didn't know why I was going to college.
No. And in fact, there's a lot that goes on in college that really encourages that strategic or surface approach to learning. A student goes to the counselor. That's one of the first steps in college, to get some advice. And often the advice is, there are certain courses that you need to get out of the way. What does that say to the student? It says, take a strategic approach. There are relatively few colleges, I think, that are attempting to try to address this issue, but there are some who are recognizing that we have much to do to change the way we receive students into the university or into college, and the way we treat them and the way we encourage them.
Mark in Flushing, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hello. I've taught college for many years, and while there are exceptions who follow their passion and special people who have achieved success that we can use for anecdotal stories, for the vast majority, the single most important motivating factor is fear. There are too many temptations, even if you are taking courses you're passionate about, to not do the study that is required. It is only fear that for most people will result in the success that they will later on be very grateful for having been afraid.
Fear of what?
Fear of not succeeding in the economy today, fear of not being able to have a good income, fear of being able not to find a spouse who will accept them because of their lack of earning capacity.
Mark, thank you.
Well, we have a lot of evidence that would challenge that notion. Just first, beginning with the evidence that comes out of the neurosciences about what happens to the human brain when it's engulfed with fear. The brain often shuts down under that circumstance, and you can't remember much at all. It's not the students who really are driven by fear, but it's those students who are driven by a purpose. And maybe that concern about life and concern about a job, a concern about economic survival might drive them, but I would not describe that as fear.
Sherry, or is it Cherie, in Fort Lee, you're a parent, and do I see from your comment that you're feeling that fear? And we have about 20 seconds for you.
Hi, yes, absolutely. I have kids about to start college, and I'm really nervous about, you know, job careers and financial, you know, sustenance after that. But I do have a good friend of ours whose son went to college, and from day one he knew he wanted to be in computers, so he worked in the computer lab in school. After 4 years, he had 4 years of job experience. When he sent out his resume, he had a lot of job offers. His friends had no offers because they had no job experience under their belt.
And there's a great example, and I'm sorry I have to leave it there, of the deep approach, because he knew he was interested in computers, but he happened to be interested in something that there are a lot of jobs in.
Right.
So in our last 40 seconds, what's your best advice to Cherie and probably many listeners like her?
Well, I think it's that students do have to think about realistic prospects in their life, about being able to survive economically. But finding that passion in their own lives can be extraordinarily important in their lives. But I guess the biggest advice that I would give people is don't worry. But to seize life and to seize control of their own life, and they have to feel that like they are in control of their own education.
Don't worry. Be genuine. Ken Bain, Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs at the University of the District of Columbia, the author now of What the Best College Students Do. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.